Today is the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, and there are, in the liturgical year, throughout the course of the year, there are 34 weeks of Ordinary Time, and so we're on that 33rd of the 34. So this will be the last Sunday that I'll be wearing green for the rest of the calendar year. We won't wear green again until after the Easter season is over, beginning of next year, January, February. So we are kind of in the midst of wrapping up the liturgical year. The first Sunday of Advent is the ending of the current liturgical year and the beginning of the next new liturgical year. So with the church, every year, if you've been going to Mass for years, you've probably noticed the last couple of Sundays and really the daily Mass readings for the last couple of weeks have been kind of apocalyptic in nature, and they will be for the next week or two, and even the early days of Advent. It's kind of the same thing. We're talking about this, the apocalyptic, like, return of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. So there's a reason behind that. The church is asking us to meditate on, in these last few weeks of the liturgical year and the first couple of weeks of Lent, we're focusing on the four final things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. So historically, if you kind of zoom out a little bit and you look at the historical context of maybe the last 100 years or so, you go back in time a little bit, and really there was a pretty harsh, the way the church talked about or preached about the four final things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, was a little bit harsh, and that's where we get the fire and brimstone, and you either straighten up or you're going straight to hell, that kind of language that was there. And there is some truth in, like, we need to hear that message that hell is a real place, and, like, our actions do dictate what happens to us for eternity. But with that, there's a lot of, like, harshness and judgment and condemnation, and a lot of people just kind of, they moved away from that, this angry, harsh God that, like, I don't know, it kind of drove people away. But then, you know, afterwards, and after the Second Vatican Council, the pendulum kind of swung to the other side, and there's a sense of, like, you know, they didn't talk about death or judgment or heaven and hell at all. It was just be nice and love each other and try to be happy, and there's just kind of a drastic swing in both directions that you know, there is, again, a harshness and then just, like, kind of a very, very looseness, I guess. But I think where the church is asking us to move is the middle. The virtue is the middle, the medium between two extremes. And so why the church gives us these readings, why Jesus himself is talking apocalyptically, he's talking about the end times, it's a matter of dogma that Jesus will come again, that there will be a particular judgment, that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he will judge us based on our actions. That's a dogma of faith. And there will not just a particular judgment for each individual person, but there will be the final judgment, where the judgment is passed over the whole earth. And that's where Jesus is talking about. In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Ah! The fear, the kind of the worry, the anxiety, and how many people kind of really throughout the history of the church, how many false prophets have come along and said, this is it, the world's gonna end, this is, you know, do you remember 2012 and the whole Mayan calendar? Do you remember that whole thing? It wasn't that long ago, but the end of the world, and everybody's freaking out, and this has happened numerous times throughout history. But I think we're, you know, rather than get swept away in the fear of what is to come, the fear of, you know, the end times and all that kind of stuff, you know, and there are a lot of people who worry about the end of the world just in terms of, you read the articles about the asteroids that are, you know, on a collision course for Earth in the next million years. Oh my gosh, the entire Earth is going to end in a million years. And so they lose sleep over this stuff. Or people who have no hope of the future. And so You know, that they spend millions of dollars at when they die having their bodies cryogenically frozen and kept in a vault somewhere, and the hope that someday the technology will arise where they can be resurrected and brought back to life, and they can, based on science, they can live forever. A blatant refusal, denial of the hope that we have in the resurrection. The end times and the end of our times, death itself, is not supposed to be a scary thing. Remember St. Paul saying, "Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" We've triumphed. We have the triumph in Christ in his life and death and resurrection. But still, there's so much fear that all of this kind of language and vocabulary and looking at the end of time, it just stirs up so much fear. I think of Saint John Bosco. He told a story about some saint, and he didn't say which saint it was, but so I don't know which saint he's referring to. But there is some saint in a monastery somewhere that was playing chess or checkers or some sort of board game with the other guys in the monastery. And one of the other brothers asked him, "So, what would you do if an angel appeared right now and stood in front of you and told you you had 30 minutes to live? What would you do?" And the saint calmly replied, "I'd finish this game of checkers." "Because I know this is God's will for me right now. This is what I'm called to do. It gives the Lord pleasure that I am enjoying the being of my creation. This moment of what I'm doing and how I'm spending my time with my brothers, this is what I'm meant to do right now. And I keep right on doing it." It's a very different attitude. And maybe it takes a saint to have that attitude, to know that my soul is clean and I'm ready to go. That's a different attitude than think about the end of time, or if someone told you that, you know, you have a death sentence, and the panic, the pandemonium, the trying to, you know, set things right. But what if we lived in such a way that we could say, "Yeah, I got 30 minutes. Okay, I'm going to finish this game of chess, checkers." What if there wasn't fear of the return of Jesus? What if we said the words of the Our Father that we pray every time we pray the Our Father, and we meant it? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What kingdom are we asking to come? The return of Jesus. That's what the Our Father is. That's what we're praying for every time we pray the Our Father. "Come back, Jesus. Come on back anytime. Anytime would be great." We're asking for his return. We're actually asking to hasten that day. That's what the end of the ordinary time and the beginning of Lent is all about. "Lord, hurry it up." Anytime. But in order to make that kind of a prayer and to mean it, we first have to have the disposition of, "Yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to finish this chess game." May we be so convicted of what we do day in and day out that we are following the Lord's will, that we don't have to fear what the future may or may not hold. When we have that kind of conviction and be certain that we are following to the best of our ability what the Lord is asking us of us.